everyone, and welcome back to Phone Show Chat. Apologies at the outset that I've got an air conditioner on, and I'm hoping that Microsoft Teams will noise gate it out, but if it doesn't, then tough titty. I'm really sorry, but it's just so silly hot here. I'm joined, as usual, by Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello, I've got no aircon here, but I have got a window open, so there's a chance I'll hear a strange noise, but again, Teams is pretty good at hiding it, so it should be okay.
Yeah, we hope so. And Dan Carter, who's with us today, confirms that he thinks Teams is good as well, don't you?
I do, and I also can confirm it is very hot as well.
Yeah. So whereabouts, you're down in the West Country somewhere, aren't you?
I'm down in Torquay, very sunny and very hot Torquay.
Yeah, I feel very sorry for people down south. At least in North Wales, it's not as bad as down south, but then I'm intolerant anyway. We're on PSC 901. It's Monday, the 6th of July. And Dan you introduce yourself, Dan. Your website, which carries your reviews and articles and stuff, do you want to just let people know where that is?
Yeah, so I'm normally on, well, I still call it Twitter, but it obviously is X now, Mobile Man Dan, and my own website is mobilemandan.co.uk, and I technically just review a lot of many mobile network news and do a lot of tech reviews on mobile phones, tablets, that kind of thing. And I've been doing it for quite a while in my own name now. I've written for some various other websites in the past. Cool Smartphone was the biggest one I was with for quite a while, and many times before that I used to do my own Nokia site called World of Nokia back in the days of like the N95 and everything, so I've been doing it for quite a while, but Mobile Man Dan's my own thing. I do all on my own, and it's a lot of fun.
Great, well done. So just a few reminders of our links. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website with two S's in the middle. And if you get lost, you can find everything you need to know at tedsalmon.com or Podhub UK, which will lead you through all the audio podcasts we do and all of the MeWe groups where you'll be very welcome to come and join us. So, Dan, I was reading your website the other day, and I saw your review of the 600 Pro, the Honor 600 Pro, and I thought to myself, aha, you're coming on the show, and Joe's here, and it could be a bit of an honor thing. So do you want to take it away?
Yeah, so I kind of got sent do a lot of stuff with Honor, and they kindly loaned me the 600 Pro to do a review on. Normally a lot of the reviews I do is when I'm based around home, so a lot of the photos and videos are all like the same kind of thing, which is good for consistency so you can compare them. But this time I was going away for about 5 nights up to Manchester to visit family, so I took it up as my main device. Main SIM card was in it. I was using it for my photos and videos and playing around with everything on it, and I actually really enjoyed it. It's normally, I tend to look at the flagship kind of phones for my main ones I like which would be the Magic 8 Pro, which I've also reviewed and I did enjoy. But there was, I don't know, something about the 600 Pro was really nice. It was whether the bezels are so small, so the screen felt bigger than it actually was. That was nice. The battery was great. The camera was great. The performance was really good. Did everything I wanted it to do. Network was great on it for 4G, 5G and everything. And it had that really cool feature, the new improved version of the image to video. So you can create, like you can just take pictures of things or even put your own pictures you've already taken and kind of turn it into a quick 6 second, like a little video clip. And the new version, you can actually write what you want it to turn into. So there were silly little things, like I was in the shopping center and there was like a merchandise store where you could buy like memorabilia from films and things, and there was like a velociraptor there from Jurassic Park. I took a picture of it and I literally went onto the app and I just typed in like make this move, and it literally turned into a little six second clip of the raptor moving behind my head, and loads of funny things you can do with it, and I just kept on there's a limit on how many you can do once the feature fully rolls out. I'm not sure what that limit on them is, but there was no limit when I was trialing it out, and I was just trying all kinds of funny videos, and it was a lot of fun to do. But yeah, the phone was really good. I was really, really impressed with it.
When I had the 400 Pro nearly new, I was allowed to do 2 months, I think it was, of turning pictures into videos, and there was no audio on it at that stage, and after 2 months it just went away. Now, Joe, you tested it after that with some other Honor phones, and they started charging. Was it 51p?
Yeah, it might have been 70 odd pence, but either way, I wasn't too happy about it. And I think that's going to be the model going forward with the 600 Pro as well. It's just free at the moment, sadly. But yeah, while you've got the trial period, it's good fun.
Yeah. I can't quite remember where the audio sat in that. So on when I was using it, there was no audio at all. Have they since now added the audio in as well, Dan?
I believe I did see an option in there where you can add audio in. I didn't do it on the ones I did, but I'm sure I did see. I haven't got the device on me now. It's gone back to Honor. But I'm sure I saw somewhere in the setting when you're creating one, there was a tick box basically where you could allow audio as well.
Right.
Because it's just the new version they're trying to push, which is using the newer up-to-date like version of Gemini and everything. So I'm pretty sure you can.
Yeah, so you can do your own prompts. So you can say, tell it to say a certain thing or do a certain thing. And it's all down to the prompts that you give it. You can write your own, or there is some pre-written ones there as well, which is quite good fun. It's sort of learn how to prompt properly by practicing and during the free period.
So do you see any business use for it or productivity use for it? Because so far, it just all three of us are just saying, oh, that's funny and fun.
Yeah, I think there could be.
I don't think there's much.
Go on, Dan, go on.
No, I was going to say, I don't think there's really much for this. I think what this is doing is getting the whole AI phrase into more people's hands, because a lot of people are still very scared of AI. And I think if you kind of have something fun like this that you can demo to people, you know, Gemini is great for what it does and all that kind of stuff. But if you've got a fun kind of thing like this, you can do, like, you've got like kids and take a picture and then you can get them to do funny things and all that kind of stuff to show off to your friends and family. You're kind of using like AI and stuff like that without really knowing what the technology behind it is. And I think it's the fun, friendly way of getting AI into more people's hands without them worrying about what it is, actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. I mean, when I went to the 600 Pro launch, they'd had a load of students make short videos using just image to video 2.0, and they'd made like some really cool videos. Obviously, they're very talented and have got the skills and patience to do it, because it must have took some time. But yeah, it did show you that's the potential it's got.
Yeah, definitely. So last time we spoke, I think, Dan, probably before your illness, you were in retail, the same as Joe. Are you still there, back there now?
Yeah, still doing retail. I've been doing the same kind of thing for about 23 years for various different companies. So
right.
I think I'll be doing that for quite a while. I did have a little bit of time out where I had to. And then I had my heart problem, and everything kind of changed for me. Seems so long ago now, but it really wasn't.
Yeah. And do you get invited to these events like Joe does?
Yeah, I've been invited to a couple of the Honor ones. It's just a shame in a way that because of where I'm based, I don't drive. It's difficult for me to get the...
Right, yeah.
I kind of need 2 days off together to be able to travel up, stay over, get to the event and then get back, because it's quite a distance from where I live. So it's quite a tricky thing. Being able to get 2 days off together is tricky to start with. And then I've got the cost of getting up there, you know, you're looking at nearly £100 for travel to get there. That's without staying over, that kind of thing, which is a shame, because I really like to come to an event again.
Dan, I'm sure they'd pay it if you asked them, honestly. Next time, give it a go. I bet they would pay.
Yeah, it might be worth a mention. I used to love the older, going back many years, I used to love the, when it was Huawei and stuff like that, and I ended up like going to Paris for like the P20 Pro launch, and they did an event in London. I went to that, and back in the Nokia days, I went to the Nokia World events in like Germany and all that kind of stuff. I used to love going around and meeting everybody, but then it was COVID hit, and everything then turned into more online events, and I kind of haven't really got back to there really. So yeah, it'd be nice to be able to catch up. There's a lot of people I haven't seen for years. There's a lot of people I've never met in person that I'd love to be able to catch up with. And so yeah, it would be quite nice to get to an event at some point.
You do get your hands on with a lot of phones though. And actually, Joe, you posed a quite interesting question, a creative question in the notes about asking Dan to name his top three, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, because he does get his hands on a lot, doesn't he? So yeah, shoot, Dan, what's your top three?
I mean, I really enjoyed apart from the 600 Pro, which I mentioned earlier, the other ones I liked the Honor Magic 8 Pro. The camera on that was really, really good. It's probably one of the best cameras I've used on a phone. I've got hold of some of the new Oppos, like the X9 Ultra as well, which I'm going to be using. So that would be quite nice to see how that compares. Pixel 10 Pro XL, I always love my Pixel phones because a lot of what I do, I'm still not very good, I'll be honest, with the whole video side of stuff. I don't think I'm that creative with doing like video content, which is why I do the odd YouTube clip of samples from the phones, but I don't really do YouTube myself. I'm more of like a text person where I write like 3,000 word reviews. So what I love with the Pixel is being able to just dictate into Google Docs what I want to say about description and all the things I want to say about the phone, and it's pretty much like I'd say about 98% accurate. I very rarely need to change anything apart from the odd full stop it adds where I have a little bit of a break, but literally all the spelling, all the other bits I want is all spot on. And I've never found a phone apart from Pixel, even the recent iPhones, that has that amount of accuracy for dictation. So that I love. I also like, I got hands on recently with the Motorola Signature, and although the price isn't one of those ones that's over 1,000, I kind of thought, well, you know, is it like a flagship phone? Or I actually really enjoyed it. Just the feel of the phone, the specs, the camera was really good. The feel of the phone was great. I like the screen on it. Just, I think everything about that phone I really did enjoy. I'm going to be posting my review on that probably in the next week because I'm a bit behind on that one. But yeah, I actually really enjoyed the Motorola Signature. I want to try the, I want to start getting into a bit more foldable stuff. So I want to get my hands on the Honor V6 at some point, which just got announced. And I'd love to get my hands on the Motorola Fold. I have been speaking to Motorola guys about it, and they're hoping to have one available at some point soon that I can hopefully kind of get my hands on to try. So that should be quite interesting.
Make sure you don't damage the screen. Joe, on the last show, you missed out on your opportunity to tell everyone what you'd done with your Razer Fold screen.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So actually, at the pub meet, I said to the chaps that the bit of case that goes on the front is broken, so I took it off, and in the following weekend, out with some friends, come out of my pocket and it landed on the floor. I didn't think much of it, but yeah, there is a few dings and a scratch on the main screen. I mean, it doesn't change my use of it, doesn't affect my viewing, but yeah, I was quite heartbroken. It's technically a £2,000 phone with a big scratch on it. But
you've got a good reason to keep it, though, and not try and sell it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was always going to be honest. With it being their first-gen book fold and being a World Cup edition as well, I think I was always going to keep it, and maybe I did it on purpose to have an excuse to keep it.
Yeah, definitely. So I think you'll enjoy that, Dan. The Motorola Signature, that Joe and I both have hands on with that. In fact, I've got one, my own, to keep. And the only problem that I find with it is that it's just so big. And now I know I'm in a minority, and most people want big phones these days. But for me, that's the main reason that I don't use it as primary device. So it's a bit of a shame, I think. And also the battery, although the battery, there's no trouble getting through a day, really. With a phone of that size, I would trade in a bit more thickness for a better battery than 5200. But then we're up against the European rules and laws and all the rest of it. Did they send you a Moto Pen Ultra with it?
No, I just got the device on its own
right.
A little while ago, which was, I do really enjoy it. I know what you mean about big phones. It's, I tend to look for big phones, which is why I like the Pixel, like the Pixel 10 Pro XL and like the iPhone 17 Pro Max for the big phones, that kind of thing. Maybe mm-hmm. It's just my eyes over time. I like the bigger screens to watch stuff back on.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a shame you're not going to get the pen, though, because it would be interesting to hear your thoughts on that. Joe, are you still using your pen, or has it been kind of assigned to a pocket because there's no silo?
It's been assigned to, I don't know where it is right now. I need to find it, actually. How long you got the signature for, Dan?
So my one's actually gone back to them. I got hands on it, and I got everything I needed to get done of the device, and I know it was in a lot of demand. So I basically said, look, I've got everything I need now for it. Let me send it back to you. And then I've got a little bit of time that I can finish off the write-up for it while someone else is enjoying using it. It's kind of a shame. I wish I could have had it for a bit longer, because I did actually really enjoy it. Just something about the design, the feel, the screen on it. I really was impressed with it. It was such a nice phone.
The Motorola screens are fabulous. I've always said that. They, you know, compared to even Samsung ones, there's something magical about Moto screens, I think. They do really well with them, even the ones that are covered in plastic.
Yeah, definitely. Dan, I think you would like the Razer Fold, because it essentially is a signature that opens up with another screen. Same camera system, but obviously with that, a bigger battery as well. So, yeah, I think you will enjoy it when you get hands on it.
Yeah, so I'm not really used to using a lot of foldables, so it was quite a new thing for me. So, yeah, I do kind of ping the guys an email every week or so, just saying, hey, only me again. Just wondering if you've had any update. And one day they'll get back to me and say, yeah, we've got one here we can send to you, and I'll be able to kind of get my hands on it and see what I think. But I do like Motorola. I do think they've got some good hardware out there. And I like their software as well. It seems to be very well done. So it'd be interesting to see what it's like on a foldable device.
Yeah, definitely. We all like Motos, don't we?
Yeah.
Joe, more questions for Dan?
Yeah, on the flip side of the devices that you've enjoyed, have you got any that you haven't enjoyed so much, or any rants?
I've been trying to wrap my brains to see if there's anything I've not really been massively. The only ones I've got my hands on recently that I still do reviews because it's good for content, and obviously I try and cover as much as I can, is probably some of the mid-range Xiaomi range. And in mid-range Xiaomi, I'm including things like Poco and like the Poco range, because they are Xiaomi pretty much devices. It's like the sub-brand. And I love the hardware on a lot of them. It's the software. It's full of adverts. It just gets really irritating. Ooh. So, the last Xiaomi phone, actual Xiaomi one I reviewed, probably was like a 14T Pro. So that was quite a while ago. But I've had a few of the Poco phones come in, like the mid-range ones and stuff. And it's just really irritating. I know there's a load of bloatware, like apps like Bubble Pop and all that stuff that's slapped all over it, that you know, I get that's where they make a lot of some of the extra money on like the marketing side and like the pre-installed apps, that kind of thing, which is why the prices go a bit further down. But you can install most of it, but it's just like the annoying things, like you get a notification and you drag it down and it's like the game store is like advertising some random game that you've never even looked at and stuff like that. It just gets very, very infuriating, and it's the biggest thing that would now put me off a Xiaomi phone. I mean, Xiaomi phones are great. You know, I love some of the hardware, especially like the Ultra phones they do for the cameras especially. But what would always now put me off is just like the advertisements and just the software experience with it. It's just not one that I enjoy, and especially when you compare it to some of the ones now, like Color OS on Oppo is really, really good. That's got a lot better over the time. You've got obviously Motorola skin is very much almost like Pixel, like with some extra features in there, which is unique to Motorola, which is great. Pixel's great. I love the whole Pixel kind of experience, that kind of thing. It's just the software experience of like the Poco range and the Xiaomi's seem to let it down for me.
They're also that's also true of some of the Motorola's as well, though, Dan. I've been looking at the Edge 70 Fusion this week, which is like heading very rapidly to being under £300 to buy one, and that's got games and stuff all over it. And maybe the difference is you can uninstall them, and no, they don't pop up in slide down notification shades, but they are there, and you know you've got to know what to do to get rid of all that rubbish that's in there. But as you move up the scale, so the Signature, I had none of that at all. And the most annoying thing is, I don't know what it's like on a Poco, but the most annoying thing is that every time you get an update, a security update or an OS update, what you've taken away just comes back again. And that's really annoying. But you're right, Dan, about the fact that this is how they price it. And this is why these devices are incredibly well pitched in terms of the marketplace. And I think we've got to, for me personally, I'd rather pay another £50 and not have that. But your average Joe would not, probably. They'll take the games and just ignore them.
No, I wouldn't. Xiaomi could be like the streaming sites, couldn't they? They could have Xiaomi with ads and Xiaomi without the ads.
I can't imagine that if you, I don't know, Dan, if you bought a Xiaomi 17, you'd have the same experience, would you?
No, I think you could still get a lot of the pre-installed stuff. You just don't get as much as the advertisements. So I think the higher up you pay, the less of that on there, which is why you get phones that go for like £150, £200. That you have a lot of them on, and then you go up to the flagship ones at like 1500, where you don't really get as much. I think you still get a lot of the pre-installed things on there, but you can remove, if not all, then most of it. It's just the advert things I've noticed more on the mid-range, which, again, it depends on what type of phone you're looking for. You know, if you're looking for a mid-range phone, you're going to expect things here or there that's going to impact the experience, such as like adverts and things like that, versus a flagship spec, flagship price. I just personally found it quite irritating.
Yeah, I'm with you. I totally agree. Even the likes of Sony, you know, you buy a Sony Xperia for like £1,300, you still get Facebook and LinkedIn pre-installed, and you can't uninstall them. You can only disable them. And you think to yourself, sometimes the price equation should stop this happening, but it doesn't. They're all on the make, whatever price of phone it is, to some degree. But that's the same as what you're saying about Xiaomi 17. It's like pre-installed stuff.
Yeah, I think that's where they must obviously have like licenses and agreements and things with different app vendors to include it on their software. I think if you look at, I'm trying to think what Samsung it was, it might have been back to like the 24 Ultra and things like that, but even now Samsung phones are starting to give you like little pop-up like advertisements on your phone advertising like Samsung products and things like that. I've seen on a few of the older models, so even Samsung aren't exempt from it. They are still doing it, and I think it's just pushing their ecosystem and their extra offers they can do to get people into using more of their products.
They're all
strange. I feel like find that less annoying though when it's a Samsung on a Samsung phone, if you know what I mean. Still annoying, but less annoying. I don't know how you guys would feel about that.
Yeah, I suppose
I guess you kind of find certain things, don't you?
Yeah, go on, Dad.
I was going to say, I guess you find this where sometimes you find little things you might not have thought of before. So in a way, For the general public, you know, getting a new phone and getting an advert for something, they might think, oh, that's really good. I didn't think about that, or I didn't know I could do that. For them, it's great. But for us guys who test them all and get hundreds of different phones and we get to play around with them all the time, all different models, shapes and sizes, I can see why to us it would be like more of just an irritation because we know it. Whereas to the person who's buying that phone as their only phone, to them, it might not seem as much as an inconvenience.
And it might feel great as well. they might be telling their friends, look what I've got with my new phone. Just like we used to do with Snake and Nokia, you know. Oh, yay, we got a game on it.
Good old Snake. Great game.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Which is coming back any minute on all sorts of devices, including Motorola, I think. Joe, where were you going after that?
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask if there's anything you was excited for in the future, whether it's a rumor or a leak or a new device, whatever. Is there anything you're excited for?
I think whether you're an Apple fan or not, I think the current rumors of a potential, obviously I have to say potential because there's nothing confirmed yet, but the launch of a potential foldable phone from Apple is going to be a big thing for the industry. Even if you're not an iPhone fan and you're more into your Android system, I think foldables aren't new. You know, there's how many versions of a Samsung foldable, and you've now got, I know there's a lot of other ones like Oppo and things like that, but the ones I'm talking about are like mainstream ones available in, like, say, the UK, via network carriers or manufacturing websites direct. So you've got all your Samsungs, you've got your Motorola Fold, you've got the Honor Folds, that kind of thing. There's a massive market still, though, of people who are waiting to see what Apple have to show off on their foldable. And I think that would then grab a lot more attention. And I think it will open up more people to trying out a foldable. I think there seems to be a lot of people that are waiting on that to see, not saying they're going to go and buy an Apple foldable because the rumored price is expensive. I mean, foldables aren't exactly cheap, but I just think it will open up the eyes of more consumers and more people to actually look at a foldable as a potential next phone. Whether they then choose, right, I just want an iPhone one, and they'll go for that, they can. Or whether they decide to then look at the competition out there from the other manufacturers. I just think that although foldables have been around for a while, it's Apple that's going to be the key for a lot of places to, once people have seen one of them, it's going to get a lot more eyes on a foldable and open up a lot more people to potentially try one out for their next phone.
Joe?
Sorry, I was just looking at a message from my wife. My daughter's going crazy in the background. I hope you guys can't hear it. It's been a bit mental, a bit distracting for me. I've done very well to stay on track so far.
Okay, well, I'll take it then. The Fold, you're absolutely right, Dan, I think. But as usual, what Apple do, everyone sheepishly follows, it seems. And as usual, Apple hold back while they watch what everyone else is doing, and then infuriatingly come in late and do it right and do it well, and it works, and is able to flog it to everyone. And people, because they've got such a market share, buy them up. However, I'm not sure if they're going to charge £2,300 for it, whether it's going to sell in shed loads. However, in America, for certain, I guess they'll be on contract with the main cellular provider, so that would be sidestepping the way in which we tend to buy phones over here. But pricing, do you think they'll get away with £2,300?
I think that's what it will be from the leaks and the rumours. And I mean, yeah, it seems viable from Apple, doesn't it? Apple tax.
Dan?
I mean, I was looking at the 2000 before, but now with all of these like shortages and the RAM prices going up and everything, you've only got to look at like I'm trying to think what the Samsung Fold 8 was when that first Fold 7. I forget what numbers were on for the foldable phones. But when the Fold 7 came out, that was like 1,800 and something. Yeah. The Pixel Fold was about the same. That's before all of these shortages and everything. So I think Apple don't go cheap, so I expect there is going to be a bit of a premium on it because it's one of their devices. But if they've got the technology to back it up, then it's not going to be a phone for everybody. There's going to be a very niche market for it. But then again, there was a bit of a niche market for the Air when that came out. You know, it was almost like, well, this is what we can do. They literally built the entire phone in just a little top bit where the camera bar is, to show off the technology they've got and what they could do. So I think it's not going to be their best seller, of course, but I think it's going to kind of be almost like a show off phone, because obviously they've got a new CEO taking over in September. This is going to be the first event, and he was like the head of design, I believe he was before. So this is like very much his thing. So to be able to show off like a brand new Apple from a new how they used to be, because Steve Jobs was a was more into like the design and handling everything, whereas Tim Cook as CEO was it was more of the financial side. So Apple are going back to their roots of like design. So I think this is going to be one of their first initial big pushes to be like, right, this is what we can do, this is what we've been working on, and kind of go from there.
And the first attempt is nicking an idea from 2023 from Google,
Yes, yeah.
but that's the way it is, and that's what you know. The other thing is that, as you said just now, Dan, Samsung are in on this, wide folding thing, and I absolutely love my Pixel Fold. My SIM card is often in it, and it just has a special place for me. So if they make an iPhone that is just as good as that, and if Samsung make a foldable that's just as good as that, I think that it will be very popular, don't you?
Yeah, I think it'd be nice to see kind of what happens. You know, we're only a couple of months away, so it'd be very interesting to see what happens in the next couple of months with pricing and availability and how much demand there is for some of these new phones coming out, because it's always a busy time of year, especially coming up to the whole Christmas period and things like that. So I think the price will be the interesting thing to see what they're going to charge for it. And then you've got to see not only is the price to buy it, but also what the monthly cost would be if you're taking it like through a network or something, to see what the kind of expected monthly premium is going to be on it for an Apple foldable phone.
Joe, what are your thoughts on the fold being the wide passport style like the Pixel and what Samsung are trying to do as well? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm very much for it. I'm quite excited by that, actually. I mean, I think that's one good element of this iPhone Fold being that way, because that might prompt the other brands to do more of it. Because I do like it. I did like the Pixel Fold. Just the weight of it put me off, really. Other than that,
Yeah.
I really liked the form factor of it. Yeah, definitely bring more foldables like that.
It's really chunky, and Apple might be up against that with their followers, because I'm not sure if they're going to want to have a heavy, chunky phone. But then maybe it won't be, and we'll have to see what happens, won't we?
Well, you know the screen's going to be from Samsung, probably, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it probably is pretty much their tech,
Yeah.
with an Apple. What's it called? They've got their own mechanism in there, haven't they, for the fold itself? The
Oh yeah,
yeah, but the hinge—that's the word. Why can't I think of the word hinge? I don't know why these brain farts happen to me on
the
live on podcast. Brilliant.
hinge. Yeah. So 900th show last week, Dan. I don't know if you listened to it or not, but Steve and I and Joe, when he could get a word in edgeways, were talking about the old days and Nokia, and you did mention that you remember those days earlier. Did you get a chance to listen to that? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm back the original Nokia days, like when Steve was around doing like the Symbian phones and things like that. I still remember when he did the very first phone show video and back the old school days. I'd loved it to be. I always remember the Nokia N8, which is like the main camera phone at the time. It was like, I think it was either 8 or 12 megapixels, had a Xenon flash. It was a nice design, metal build, a couple of different colors, and it was like the standout camera phone at the time. And then there was also an E7, which was it's kind of the same, but it was more of a business idea where you could slide out a keyboard and type on it. I'd love to have an Android version of those phones, just to bring back kind of what it was like. I was never a massive fan of the whole Symbian system for the apps and things like that. Obviously, you're talking many, many, many years ago, and apps have come a long way since then. And I always remember the Nokia time when Nokia announced that they were pairing up with Microsoft to go with Windows Phone instead of Android, and my heart sank thinking of what could have been. And I still look back and think of what could have been all these years down the line, having a Nokia-made smartphone with Android on it. It could have been such a good seller and a good opportunity, but we will never know.
There's an alternative universe with that, isn't there? Probably.
I mean, I know you can get Nokia phones with Android on it, but that's kind of when it went off to the not the original Nokia, as I called it,
No.
going off to, they obviously got bought by Microsoft and then got sold off to, I think, who it was now.
Well, BlackBerry did a an Android phone, didn't they? But that's not a Nokia, I grant you.
Yeah,
Anyway.
it would be just, yeah, we go off. But yeah, I'd love some of the old school phones with Android on them.
Anyway, if anyone didn't hear the 900th show last week, do go and have a listen, because we cover, Steve and I and Joe cover all of those devices in some depth and reminisce for about an hour and a half. So do have a listen to that, and we'll hope that you'll enjoy it.
Very fun
Okay,
show. I liked it.
let's move on to some of the other parts of tonight's show. We got a few contributions from some of our group members. Scott Brady says, "Thanks for covering my thoughts on the Xiaomi 17 on the show before last. I'm still enjoying it and did get the Garmin issue worked out."
Excellent.
Someone on the PSC MeWe group pointed him to a setting that took care of it. So that was good. Also, Keith Bartlett jumped in with the Commodore Callback 8020. Now, for anyone that didn't listen to the Tech Addicts podcast from the Sunday before last, Gareth and I do a kind of quite a long blow by blow on this phone. It's a Commodore. Well, not the same Commodore of old, but someone using the Commodore name is pushing out this flip phone, which on the face of it looks like it's going to be a dumb phone, but actually it's not. It's running Sailfish OS, and we know, because of what we know about Yola phones, that that actually is quite interesting and different. Anyway, we go into great depth about all of this stuff about this phone, but the trouble is that they were initially trying to sell it for 500 quid and get people to put money down ahead as a deposit, because they're not actually ready to go out yet. It's certainly going to be something that's going to be appealing to retro fans or Gen Z users or whatever. Now that they have subsequently dropped the price, apparently, and you can order one at the 399 price instead of 499. So there is that, if you really want one. A clamshell phone with a screen on the outside, a T9 keyboard in the inside, and running Selfish OS. So I can't imagine. I was saying to Gareth on Tech Addicts that I can't see who's going to buy this. Particularly if it's even 399. If it was a 200 quid, maybe. Any thoughts, Dan?
Yeah, I suppose it's just one of those interesting phones out there that's just a little bit different. There's quite a few different like phones out there these days. There's the click, is it Clicks making like a BlackBerry like phone? That looks quite interesting, but it's all going to be down to price and everything. I think what you mentioned, the price in the notes is out to nearly £500. It's a bit pricey for what it is, but there's going to be people that's got an interest. It's not going to be like a mass market device, but there's going to be someone who's going to want one to show off and be a little bit unique, I'm sure.
Okay, Joe.
Yeah, Ted, we touched on this, didn't we, as a news piece. Do you know what? Unless you're a hardcore Commodore fan, I can't see why anyone would pay the price. I mean, it does look quite smart, but it's got an old school sort of little aerial as well, isn't it? It doesn't even look modern in any way. I know retro is kind of in, but yeah, I just don't know why anyone would go for it.
Yeah, I'd forgotten we've spoken about it on here as well. We seem to have covered it on about three podcasts now, so
Yeah, it is
we'll
fun though, isn't it? It's a fun one to cover.
Right, let's get into the news. And the first item of news is that tomorrow, as we record, Tuesday the 7th, the Nothing Phone 4B is going to be unveiled. And, of course, it's been leaked to buggery by everyone. And I was hoping that this was going to be the 6.3-inch screen device, which Uncle Carl always kind of said that he would want to make as soon as the company was kind of doing okay and the coins were flowing. But actually, it looks like from the leaks that we've seen so far, though nothing is absolutely confirmed, that it's going to be the same boring 6.7-inch screen. So how that's going to differ from the 4A, I don't know. Tomorrow, I guess, we'll find out. I really like the whole Nothing Phone thing, I have to say. It's really, I like the whole British thing about it, and, you know, the homegrown stuff, and the software's really interesting, which you found out, Joe, when you reviewed the 3, didn't you?
Yeah, I rather like Nothing OS. It's really fun, some nice features there, really slick, clean. Yeah, I'd be interested in this device. Maybe it's going to be a cheaper one, because I heard CMF aren't going to have any devices for a while. Yeah. So perhaps it's going to be a more budget, sort of lower-end one, because it's from the leaks, it's a 6 series chipset from Snapdragon, I think.
I can't remember now. But yeah, it's certainly going to be lower-end. Have you seen anything about this, Dan?
I've seen a few of the leaks about it. I also do really like Nothing. I've only ever used properly the very first one, the Nothing Phone 1, when that came out. But they've got, they are a bit different, just the design and the whole, I wasn't too sure on the whole glyph interface. It's obviously made them stand out a little bit, but I didn't really know how interesting or how handy that would be to the everyday user. I tend to keep my phone on the desk with the screen up so I can see what's going on rather than upside down, so I don't scratch the screen even just for that reason. Yeah. But they've gone a bit more away from that on some of their new ones, so it's a bit confusing with the naming, because you've now got the 4A and the 4A Pro, but yet the flagship phone is the 3. So it kind of is a little bit confusing for people. Now you've got the 4B, which the B is a new series. So I also heard about the CMF, about the not being a CMF, another CMF phone for a bit. So this would almost be like what the CMF phone might have been potentially, but under the Nothing brand. Don't know. It'd be interesting to see what it is and what it's priced at and everything, and how they launch it. But I like Nothing as a brand. I think they're really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, Pebble Time 2 is next, which I've talked about before because I really liked it. And I reviewed the Pebble Time 2 because I've got it in hand, and it's a nifty little... I'll put a link in the show notes to my review again for anyone that has not read that. But it's a really, really nice little phone. Watch. And it, I noticed this week that someone was pushing out these bumpers for it. And I thought, yeah, somebody sat at home with their 3D printer making these bumpers. And all it is a bit of plastic that goes around the front of the screen, which kind of protects the edges. It doesn't even wrap right round it, I don't think. It's just like clips on the front. But anyway, I suppose kudos to him or her for doing it. Charging a tenner each plus postage and package. And pushing these things out. So anyway, I turned my attention to the charging dock thingy, which I don't know if I mentioned this before, Joe, but the charging dock that you put on the back, you plug a USB-C charge, a cable, into the charging dock thingy, and then you put the magnets hold the charging dock onto the back of the watch. But actually, they hardly stay on. As soon as you touch it or sneeze on it or do anything on it, breathe on it, it just falls off. The magnets are appalling on the thing. I don't know if they're appalling on the phone side, or the watch side, or the dock side, but something there is just appalling. Anyway, I found that someone had made a dongle, a dock thingy. So they 3D printed it Again, this is the whole 3D printing thing, which I know nothing about, never had anything to do with 3D printing. But I thought to myself, there's the template, there's the knitting pattern or whatever it's called. I wonder if someone out there has got a 3D printer and would be able to make me one. So sure enough, I put it in the group and Phil Dawson piped up and said, yeah, I've got a 3D printer. I'll have a go at that. And he made it for me. It's now currently sat at my dad's front door. It's arrived today, so I can't report on how good it is or how it works, but I will do on the next show. But thank you ever so much, Phil. That's really good of you. And I'll put in the show notes a short video which I uploaded to my YouTube channel of Phil. It's a very, very short video, just a few seconds of showing it actually doing it, and it's really interesting to watch it in action. So there's that. Anyone had a go at 3D printing here?
I haven't, but my mum's partner's got one, and he makes like little toys for my daughter. It's really, really clever what you can do with it. It does make you tempted to get one, but they're quite big machines, I think, if you get a decent one.
Yeah.
But yeah, loads of fun to be had. I actually had a customer actually told me how he'd made basketballs. You know, like there's hollow basketballs you can make. With a 3D printer, there's all sorts you can do.
Wow.
And like you say, he sells stuff online. But yeah, it's great.
Yeah, very, very cool indeed. Okay, how are we doing for time? Let's move on to our weeks of what we've been doing. Joe, what have you been up to since the last show?
Yeah, I'll just keep it short and sweet. So I was going to go into the 600 Pro, wasn't I? Said that on the last show, but I haven't because I got very lucky, probably because others didn't want to go. But I managed to bag two tickets to Silverstone courtesy of Motorola. So I saw the British Grand Prix yesterday. So as a result, I kept my sim in the Razor Fold. And it was an amazing day. I really enjoyed it. And I'd say I'm actually an F1 fan now. I'm going to follow the rest of the season.
You and your sport.
Yeah.
Right, cool. I've never been to any motorsport. Well, I lived around the corner from Goodwood for a long time, and I was in and out of there, I suppose, but not going to an event like that. Have you been to anything like that, Dan?
Yeah, I've been a big Formula One fan for many, many years. And when I came into a little bit of money several years ago, I always wanted to go to the Monaco Grand Prix. So luckily, on my way to work, walking through town centre, like Thomas Cook or whatever, one of the travel agents was advertising a package where that you can go and pay for tickets through them to watch qualifying or the race or both, and they also put you up in a hotel, transfers, all that kind of stuff. So it's a whole package. So I actually went, must have been about 12-13 years ago, and watched the Monaco Grand Prix. Absolutely loved it, although I'll always remember they predicted that it was going to be cloudy, so I turned up in just my sunglasses, some shorts and a shirt. And it was boiling hot, 30-odd degrees all day. I'm sitting there in the open sun, and I got massively sunburned. I literally had to lay on the bed with my arms stretched out because my arms were in agony. But such a great event to go to. I'd love to go to another race, but I can see what the addiction is. It is quite an addictive atmosphere and a sport to watch.
Right.
Definitely.
Okay. So did you Motorola took you there. Did they give you a free phone or anything?
No. I just took up the phones I had already. Got some good, what I thought was okay footage of the some of the race and the warm up and that. I'll share some actually in MeWe.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, what have I been up to? I've reviewed the Motorola Edge 70 Fusion. Which its primary point of interest is the battery. I specifically asked the Motivator program to send me the 7,000 milliamp hour battery version, because there is also a 5,200, which is thinner. But this is a more bulky phone, which is great. I'm fine with that. And the news is, I'll link to the review in the show notes, but the news is that it's absolutely stonking. The battery is just brilliant. You're talking about 3 to 4 days of my average kind of use between charges, which is just phenomenally good. And I was very impressed indeed. I did some testing with it, with the an always on, because it hasn't got an always on display, which is really annoying, and it hasn't got Qi charging, which is annoying as well, except that you only have to charge it once every 3 days. So, you know, in that respect, it's not so bad. But the always on display, I really miss, and I put one on there and did some testing. And when I put the thing on, it was really caning the battery life. So, you know, it was halving what you could get without it, really, and losing like 5% an hour, that sort of thing. So yeah, not too great, but I'll put a link in the show notes to that as well. And apart from that, it's a really nice phone, got a lot going for it. And I'm sure that most people that are not hung up on always on displays and Qi charging would be very happy with it. And it's currently, as I say, I think the last time I looked, it was 329, but it should be 299 any minute, I think. So it's a one to have on the list, I think. And the other thing I've been doing is reviewing the Moto Watch, which Motivator also sent to me. And I put it up against the Moto Watch Fit. Now, they sent me a silver one, which I didn't like, so I swapped it. I was gonna sell it because they gifted it to me, and I was quite honest with them, and I said, you know, I want to get the black one, so I was gonna sell it and then buy a black one. But then Jim Fowle popped up and said, "Hang on a minute, I've got a black one, so let's do a swap." So we did that, and we swapped between us, and I've got the black one, and it's really nice because it's black. I put a black strap on it, not the one that came with it. And there's an awful lot to like about it. The trouble is that I've been spoiled by the Moto Watch Fit, and I really, really like the Moto Watch Fit, and it's so slim, and it's the right shape, I think. I mean, it's okay to say you want a round watch, because if all you want to do is look at the time on your watch, then fair enough, round watch seems to make sense. But when you're looking at messages and reading the watch and stuff, I think it's just something that is a makes more sense that it's in a page kind of shape, an oblong shape, and it just works much better. And also, the other thing that annoyed me about the new one is that the always-on display, here I go again, is not as bright. With the Moto Watch Fit, the always-on display is much, much brighter and bigger, and the battery lasts longer as well on the watch altogether. It's also got weatherproofing, which the new one hasn't. It's got it only covers it down to 1 ATM, whereas the Moto Watch Fit does more than that. You can wear it in the shower and stuff, and even swimming, I believe. So yeah, I'm torn between the two, because one is more up to date. Obviously, it's got newer software on it, the round one. But my little Moto Watch Fit, I think, is just great. And you've got both of them as well, Joe, haven't you?
Yeah, and my findings are quite similar, really. The always on display, especially in this sunny weather, really isn't that great, is it, outside on the watch? Whereas the Watch Fit is a bit more eligible in bright sunlight. I don't mind the Del Boy silver, so me and Jim Falcon be Del Boy together. I wanted to ask Ted, what color did you get the Fusion in, and what sort of finish is it?
It was the black one, well, whatever they call the black one. I can't remember the actual name of it now. But they did have a few colours. In fact, if I click through to my review, I listed the colours.
There's a lovely purple one you've put on a picture of. That caught my eye.
Yeah, you're right. There is. Where is it? I put it in my review there. Colours.
While you're looking, colours. I noted that you've mentioned there's a plus as well, which has a slightly bigger battery, even.
Yeah, it was a bit confusing with the Plus model, but I do go into greater detail in the... I can't find the colours now. I'm sure I wrote this in my review down the bottom somewhere. Oh, here it is. So Orient Blue, I think that's the one I had, or it might have been the Blue Surf. Sporting Green, Country Air and Silhouette.
Country air.
I think mine was either surf blue or orient blue, but it was certainly a kind of dark, very dark colour.
What type of finish is it on it, Ted?
What, the back of it?
Yeah.
It's their usual kind of leaning towards making it feel like cloth, but it's actually not. It's like plastic cloth. It's not shiny plastic. It's not bad on the back, and you do get a case with it, a TPU. It's just not a very soft one. So it's a bit like the one you get with the signature. It's very hard. Although the chi two ring is missing from the back of it because there's no chi charging.
No need for it.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But you can't put accessories on the back that you can on the other ones. And yeah, it's nice enough. There's no Moto AI button, but a bit like the Neo 60, the 60 Neo, even though there's no AI button, the whole of the AI suite is on there. And if you're paired up with a Moto watch of any description, you do get the smarts coming through to the watch. So that works well. And I think the Fusion is a nice phone. Probably not for me, but because of the aforementioned, but I really, really was impressed with the battery. That's fabulous.
Yeah, good choice, I think, for many people.
Indeed. Right, let's get to photo of the week, which I have chosen for mine, Raise the Drawbridge by Carl Hales, which was from a while back, actually. And I forgot, I went back and found it today. He took this with a Pixel 6. And I think that this picture is all about the composition. Well, not all about the composition, but mostly about the composition for me. The way in which he's got the angle of the bridge raising up in the middle of the frame. And because of the wide angle nature of it, it's kind of looks like it's slightly distorted. And that works really well. And in the foreground, you've got even focusing on the kind of foliage in the beginning at the front with the river going through the middle. And the sky is interesting, too. I just thought that was an interesting photo that caught my eye. Okay. Dan, yes. Sorry, go on, Joe.
I was going to say it's like nature versus engineering with the flowers and the sky, and then you've got a big, massive bridge distorted in there. Yeah.
Indeed.
It's a cool image.
Dan, you chose one?
Yeah, I chose one from Ian Watson on his Pixel 10 Pro. I think it was called Hope Valley. And basically, it's just a nice, it's basically green fields with some cloud in the sky. And then there's like sunbeams coming down, like a almost like it's targeting part of the field. And I just think with the different shades of green and the lighting and everything, it just looks really nice. Very much like a typical Pixel photo you'd expect to see from the camera. I just think it looks really nice.
Yeah, very nice. Joe, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's a lovely one. Looks like something's getting beamed to Earth.
Yes. Okay, thanks very much. That's Ian Watson. He took with a Pixel 10 Pro, and it's a very nice picture. So if there's nothing from you, Joe, we'll move into the classifieds, which have picked in there. Murray Alexander's Xiaomi 17 Ultra in white with an unopened camera kit. How about that? Boxed and unused original accessories, immaculate condition. UK versions for everything, 895 quid. So that's the one I picked out for there.
That's a very, very good nice. Price, isn't it? With the kit as well.
Unopened.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah,
that'll be snapped up quick, I reckon. Talking of snapped up quick, I don't know how this is still on there. David's Burns Motorola Signature in carbon black, 512 gig of storage, is still there for 450 quid. I don't know how that's still there, because that's an excellent buy, that.
Nor do I, unless we just have a group of people that don't like big phones.
Yeah.
But I think I'm in a minority there. I think that's amazing. We were saying last week that, you know, that's basically half the new price. And it's only been out since January. And I'm with you on that. I don't know how that's not been snapped up by someone. But there you go. There you go.
I reckon people are saving for some Apple and Samsung Folds. perhaps, or maybe the V6 as well. Yeah, perhaps.
Dan, you got anything for sale?
Nothing from my side, but the best, I mean, I've spotted a, talk about Xiaomi earlier, the Ultra phone, the Xiaomi 17 Ultra in white with a unopened camera kit. Selling.
That's the one that I was just mentioning, yeah.
Yeah, just been having a flick through now. That one really stood out for an Ultra phone for 895 for the camera kit. I mean, the camera kit alone for certain phones is £400-£500, so that does seem a bit of a bargain, really.
I can't believe you've got no numbers to sell, Dan.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I always get them here and there from stuff, so always on the lookout.
I bought one for me myself.
Actually, I've just saw also a good one that's on there still. If anyone wants to go to a bit of a classic for a camera, a Huawei P20 Pro in Twilight is being sold off for £60 delivered. So that's, if you want one of the best design Android phones, that's a good show.
Yeah, I mentioned it. It's got the monochrome lens on that. I had the P20 Pro. Yeah.
I had that. It was at the launch event. That was a good, good time.
There's also a Xiaomi 14 Ultra, which I just noticed, and that's obviously a bit older than the 17, but 512 gigs, 16 gigs, UK version, boxes and cables and stuff, £420. So, you know, there's options there. There's not a huge amount of stuff in the classifieds at the moment, but the ones that are there tend to be quite interesting. So get across there and have a look. And if you want to join, then you'll have to email me and ask and talk to me about it, because we do control the membership there and who gets in and doesn't, to try our best to protect the members. Thanks very much, Dan, for joining us today. We'll cut it short this week because it's so hot. but it's been interesting to catch up with you.
Thanks for having me. It's been good to be back.
Did you want to say anything about your recovery from your illness before we go, or would you rather not? Are you doing okay?
No, I can do. Yeah, I'm doing good. It was nearly a year ago today I had a double bypass. It seems so long ago they told me what was going on, and I had to stop all my energy drinks. I was having like four a day, and I had to stop all that ages ago because of the caffeine and stuff. So 15th of July last year is when I went to hospital to have a bypass, and it's been nearly a year since, and I've been getting back to normal and working and getting out from the walks and trying to keep busy. And I've got to be careful with a lot of things, but I've got to kind of be more healthier and realize that, you know, I'm not invincible. But it's been nice to be, you know, getting back into the swing of things and to get all my interests back and to have other stuff to concentrate on, not just my health all the time.
Right, well done. No corned beef.
But thank you for asking.
Joe, any last word from you on anything?
No, just maybe check out the Nomad Tech project. We actually had a guest last night, but we didn't talk about much tech for quite some time.
No, I was watching it last night after the event, and I noted from it was an hour and a half the show, and apart from a section on the Sony PlayStation stuff, the tech talk started about halfway through. It was 45 minutes in.
Yeah, sounds about
rest,
right for us.
The rest of it was all about World Cup and other stuff. But
it's all good fun.
He was an interesting guest, that chappy, Zach.
Yes,
So it was actually quite interesting hearing and talking, so good. PhoneShowChat.uk is our website, two S's in the middle, don't forget. And if you get lost with anything at all, you can find everything at PodHub UK, but you can also find everything at TedSalmon.com. If you want to buy me a copy, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy Joe one, it's paypal.me/hickey85. So thanks very much for listening, everyone. And hopefully next week or the week after, whenever our next show is, things will be a bit cooler and we will not have air conditioners going. I'm really sorry if you've been able to hear that, but needs must. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.